Hello, New York. You're
good
listening
morning.
To Queer
afternoon.
State of Mind. Right, afternoon on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm your host, Ori Givens. Joining me is Justin.
Hey!
It's just the two of us. We're going to keep it live. We're going to keep it going. Oops. Thanks for listening to Queer State of Mind. We have a great interview coming up with Jose Roldan Jr. He has written and is performing his own one-man show up at the New Yorican Poets Cafe called Father Forgive Me, I Have Sinned. It is a great testament to this Easter Resurrection weekend. So we gonna get in our own spirit here on Queer State of Mind. You're listening to us live on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Live from Bushwick, Brooklyn in New York City, this is Queer State of Mind on Radio Free Brooklyn, powered by the Queer Minded Radio Network, with Ori, Seydou, Chinwe, Justin, and Taran. Join the conversation and tell us how you feel on Twitter at QSOMNYC, on Facebook at facebook.com/queerstateofmind, or send us a text or voice message to 917-472-1224 using the keyword QSOM. That's 917-472-1224, keyword QSOM. Now it's time to get into a queer state of mind with this week's brunch tea segment, live only on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yes, get it, go,
really?
get it.
Don't stop, get it. Make that pussy doo-doo brown.
See, if y'all was up in the studio right now, we are just getting our lives together,
getting a
little twerk, getting a little dance going on. How you doing, girl?
Hey, darling. How are you?
Good. It's good to see you, honey.
Yes, it should be.
I know, right? I'm so happy to be on time for this week's show.
Yes.
Yes, I navigated the buses properly today
and
got off at the appropriate
in
stop.
New York City.
Yes, I know.
Especially
I'm learning.
In a borough you don't know.
Right. You know, Brooklyn has a wide, you know, network of buses that I'm just trying to master right now.
At least it's not Queens.
Oof.
Because you got that, you know.
Well, you can get on a bus in Queens and then you just don't know where you are. You don't know how to get back. And there's
and
only one bus.
It's
so
huge.
Big. Oh, my gosh. So, Seydou is out today. She's singing somewhere. Where's she singing it?
In Philadelphia.
She's
singing for the Lord.
Hopefully listening to us and tweeting about the show. You can also tweet us at QSOMNYC. We be checking Twitter during the show.
She's singing for Jesus.
Yes.
And not Jesus on the corner.
This Resurrection weekend.
Isn't that what it is?
It is. He is rising tomorrow. He risen tomorrow. What's going on? I don't know.
On the third day.
On the third day. Well, you know, technically, he already done rose in Asia. You know,
right.
It's
you
tomorrow.
Know, tomorrow. You know. For tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow.
That
comes,
always mess with me because it's like
pace.
He does the same things at the same time all around the world, and it's like that's not possible. Like
it's
I don't
like
understand.
Santa Claus. It's like,
right.
How are you delivering all these gifts?
I know. And they used, you know, when you was a little kid, I think they still do it. You can watch him on a radar.
The NORAD.
Yeah, the NORAD. It's like. Nuh-uh, Santa ain't doing all that. And why is he delivering presents in places where they don't got Christianity? Like, they don't celebrate Christmas. So I guess everybody should get some
really?
Presents.
Really? Like a Hallmark movie, The Town Without Christmas?
Ooh, baby. So lots of places without Christmas.
Right.
Lots of them. So
there's Christmas in your heart wherever you go.
Oh, my gosh. So what has been going on this week? Like, there has been a lot. And I guess the first thing we want to start out with this interview that basically shut down all the queens. Like, RuPaul did an interview with Vulture. You know, RuPaul's Drag Race just hit its 100th episode, and RuPaul also has a new game show launching.
Gay for Pay,
which I am all about.
It is not just straight people who do porn, that's
no,
what I thought. At
no.
First.
But, and I would have been interested in it if it had been that, too. But
I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
I can tell.
But it's like a kind of like a variety show. Yeah. Like a, it reminds me of
Match Game.
Yeah, it's like they took Match Game and they actually really did it.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so
because that's an old
Match Game was just one of the best things that ever come on television.
Oh my gosh!
It just is. When we were in college, we used to get real high and watch marathons of this on the Game Show Network. And when I tell you,
it's so funny. Like the actual old episodes of Match Game, because
they're shady as fuck.
Yes, and wasn't that the one that Betty White did? Or
well, no, Maddie White did all of them.
She did, yeah.
That was her job. She was a professional game show person.
Oh, yes.
But for those who don't know, Match Game was just like the highest rated show. If you took like Friends and Roots and all of Thursday Night and multiplied it by 10 and then dipped that in chocolate, you would get like the highest rated show. That's what Match Game was. And Match Game gave birth to Family Feud.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Richard Dawson was on there, and toward the end, you could tell how much he just hated being on the show, and he was just rude.
Mm-hmm.
And the bonus round pretty much is the exact same concept as all of Family Feud.
Okay. So, well, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. Well, I'm really excited for the show because I just like a good game show. But in this interview, you know that Rue is not without controversy, to say the least.
Yeah.
So this interview that came in on Vulture, basically talking to some of the big critiques that people have had about RuPaul's Drag Race, about drag in general. And, you know, RuPaul at that point in his life, that there are no more fucks to give.
Well, A, I love the fact that, you know, RuPaul every now and then has to remind bitches that she's still black. And that she, and the way she goes to snatch this girl's wigs.
It's
like,
amazing.
Right, it's like, bitch, don't come for me. Like, really, if you were smart, stay across the street. Because this side is not sunny.
No. And then nobody sends, she's not sending for NC she's Boxy.
She's not, bitch, Red Rover, bitch, send your ass home.
But what's happening, and I'm trying to pull up this article, but the internet is failing me right now on live radio. But she basically said, like, language police are a problem. You know, talking about the controversy with SheMail. And how a lot of people thought that that was offensive, and the network decided to change it. And RuPaul was very clear in saying, I didn't want it changed. Changed it.
But she said, you know, there are some battles you don't need
you
to fight.
You don't need to fight, right?
I'm fine. Sure.
You like, know, if that's what it is, it what it is, you know, the show's still on the air. And I think that, you know, we, people that have followed RuPaul for a long time, you know, nobody's saying that she should be without critique. He should be without critique. Nobody's saying
that
at all.
She should very much be with critique.
And one of the interesting things that I read was not about, you know, the whole SheMail thing, but about the Empire sketch.
Which was ridiculously racist.
It was horribly racist. And I think, but, and here's the thing. Like,
it's hard for those of us who came of age in that era of drag. And we expect all our drag queens to basically be black women on steroids.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all we knew. That's who performed.
Well, and it was
that's
really
all we saw.
Right.
And
it was just really odd
to
see, you know, Faith Evans and RuPaul cajoling the queens to be more ratchet.
Yeah.
Like, we want you to, you know, snap your fingers and twist your head and do all those things. Like, that's how we do it. That's not how all of us do it.
That's how some of us do it. But that's what Empire is.
Right.
And the whole idea that it's drag, it's exaggeration. Drag has always never, it's not realness, which I have a problem with that word. It's not realness. Realness comes from the policy and people who can't get it. So they're pretending to be this. This is the closest it's going to get. It's actually a rather bittersweet term. Anyway. But it's always been this exaggerated femininity.
Well, and if you go back to that kind of ball scene, you think about the categories, right? Yeah. There are these categories of, like, hyper-masculinity or hyper-femininity.
Yes, and executive realness. Because this is the 80s, and this is crack, and it's in New York City, and there's unemployment is 30%.
Right.
Girls didn't have shit.
Right.
And they were boosting everything.
So we were trying to give that look.
Yes, that's what the pageant was.
So I think it's interesting that we're having these critiques. It's interesting that we're at a point where, one, we have a television show on the air that's very popular, that is featuring drag culture.
And simultaneously killing it at the same time.
Well, that's a whole, I don't even know about that.
Patterson.
I don't think it's killing it.
Well, here's the thing. It's killing the kids because, A, and she said it, the kids don't know shit.
Yeah.
They do not know shit. And it goes the whole thing about the I Will Survive. Like, people, like, yeah, they were fucking horrible. I think that's the quote. Why'd you come off? Because they were fucking terrible.
Oh, the two?
Yeah.
The double elimination?
Yeah, because...
Did you watch it?
Yes. And even people say, like, look, it's I Will Survive. Every straight person knows that song.
Yeah.
And if you're a gay person, especially a gay child doing drag, that's your practice song.
I think well, there are those songs that when you come up in the culture, in the life, if you will,
you just know.
Uh-huh. And, you know, I Will Survive is one of those songs. Like, and it was just so, like, I watched it, because I didn't watch it when it first debuted. I'm caught up now, but I didn't start.
It's always wonderful to go back and watch the old ones. Like, oh, shit, this is real, real, real bad.
Right. So I watched the first episode. I'm just like, oh, and then I saw and then the next episode, and I saw the double elimination. I'm like, oh, okay.
So, and you understand why, because it's like anyone's, especially us, New Yorkers, I am sorry, mm-hmm. but your drag here is horrible. Ooh. It is personality drag, and that's it. Like, y'all can't paint. And it's like, I don't understand that you're in New York. You want to, we're in New York. We don't have to try. That's your whole problem. You don't have to try for shit. You should really, like, step up.
That doesn't work for any other industry. Like, to get to in New York, you have to be the best of the best.
Not in New York anymore. New York doesn't produce anything anymore. New York's not even an incubator.
It collects things.
Yeah. The only thing New York has exports anymore is just theater and opera.
Yeah.
Anything else, we don't export good talent. Sports teams. We don't export shit here in New York.
I feel like some people might have something to say about
that. No, they don't.
The
same people who are from here are like, well, it's true. I mean, like anymore, especially people who have been in New York for a while, especially hip-hop heads, like, oh, dude, we don't do shit anymore.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think there were times when, you know, creating culture, because New York created a lot of culture, exported a lot of culture, and then it kind of gets taken, like, it's no longer here. Like, hip-hop came from here, but it's no longer here. Like, it's no longer owned by the Bronx. It's no longer owned by, like, it's not owned by New York
anymore.
It's
not even an incubator anymore.
No.
It's not.
I mean, there's so much innovation, like, kids are,
because
you know,
you don't,
innovating
because
everywhere.
It's too expensive to live here, and you don't have to be here.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I get back to, let me digress. So, the whole idea that New York drag is personality drag is great on camera.
Mm-hmm.
That's why New York queens tend to do very well.
When there's like three or something.
There's always three. You're always three. Because the girls be like, oh, it's New York. Like, girl, no, no, you're.
It's like they have a formula because they've got the three New York queens and they got the girl from Puerto Rico.
Yeah, who can't speak English. They always get her.
Like, I know that there are drag queens in Puerto Rico that speak English.
It's Puerto Rico.
Like, right, but still.
And not even that. It's like you're a tourist. You should know how to. You know, it's like Barilla Pasta. You know, it's Italian enough for American taste.
Right. Well, I think, but that my point is, I think that they do that purposefully.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it's, you know, I think it's like they want that, they want to fill that stereotype.
Are Latins not in anymore? Is that the thing now?
I don't understand.
Have they gone out of vogue?
I don't think so. Nah. I think
you would think you would keep the hot Latin people on there, you know, or that just not a thing anymore?
Maybe not. Well, you know, it's always that.
Pablo.
What tends to win is the, you know, the kitschy, like, punky kind of.
Well, it's a television show. It has to be. Now, you can win the show or you can win in life.
Right.
Latrice Royale is winning in life.
Oh, my gosh.
She owns everything. She started her business.
She is opulence. She's got a brand.
She is the living embodiment of opulence. Mm-hmm. But she owns everything.
Yeah.
If you don't know where that comes from, shame on you.
Well, and I think that, like, there are some queens that are able to take that experience, whether they win or lose, and they're able to develop it into something.
Well, here's the thing, because it's like, I was the Carmen Carrera or one of the old, like the young, like, I don't want to do club drag.
It
like,
well, girl,
that's where you make your money, honey. You
can't. And she was also going through transition issues. I think it was her. It might not have been her.
I think there have been a couple
of queens that kind of do
a
that.
A lot of them. A lot of shun them, like, oh, you know, you're gonna.
Well, it's kind of like when you know the people that are on American Idol and then, like, don't, you know, it's like, that's what made you popular. Like,
right.
You can't kind of throw your back at it.
But I think the best takeaway from the RuPaul article, and I have said this, that she mentions the difference between drag and trans.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas drag is making fun of it. Trans is an identity.
Yes.
So she can't.
Well, there are two sides of the same coin. It's like, I think the quote was that trans is people trying to live an identity. They're serious about
an identity.
About
it, yeah.
And drag
makes
is
fun of
like,
it.
Yes, mocking it.
Yes,
mocking
it's satire.
It. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a place.
Or Sadu calls. I mean, as you say, Sadu always says, "You're clowns."
Yes,
as you are. You're.
Well, and there's always a place for satire as long as it's not, you know, demonizing or devaluing people.
It's 3 a.m. on Fox News.
Oh goodness, we'll be right back right here on Queer State of Mind. Permission, made my decision to test my limits. Cause it's my business, God is my witness. Stop what I finished. Don't need no holder, taking control of this kind of moment. I'm locked and loaded, completely focused. My mind is open. All that you got, skin to skin on my neck. Don't you stop, boy. Something about you makes me feel like you're dangerous. Something about you makes me wanna do things.
grooving, I'm bulletproofing, know what I'm doing. The way we're moving, like introducing us to a new thing. I wanna save it for later. The taste of flavor, cause I'm a taker, cause I'm a giver. It's only nature, I live for danger. All that you got.
You're listening to Queer State of Mind on Radio Free Brooklyn. That was Ariana Grande, Dangerous Woman. I love her. I think she's great. So coming up, we're going to listen to an interview from Jose Roldan Jr. He's performing a one-man play at the New Eurekan Poets Cafe called Father Forgive Me, I Have Sinned. But before we get to that, The Passion. Oh my goodness.
Yes. Okay. You know.
So, The Passion.
Okay, so Ori, and you know, Ori is also from Ohio, as he's sitting here with his Ohio State sweater on.
O-H-I-O.
Yes, man. I know it says Pavlovian response when you get people from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
If you have been, or if you're familiar with anything contemporary Christian, with the reflective yet grand orchestrations,
mm-hmm.
It was the best Crossroads production ever, and it needs to be licensed because it's just that bad.
Okay, so funny thing you say that, because what I didn't know about The Passion, it's actually like a global, like syndicated thing.
Right? Yes, it
so
is.
This is not like The Passion that we saw.
This is not a Tyler Perry production.
No, it actually started in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And then it went to the UK, and it's performed in various different parts of,
and
they make it this television spectacle.
It's not like an old-school passion play, the ones you get in, like, Germany or something, which is phenomenal.
Right, no. They're not beating people with the rods and stuff like that. This is like...
Isn't it in the Philippines they actually nail themselves to the cross?
They do. They nail, and they'll walk through the streets beating themselves with briars. It's
speaking of which, you should listen to your annual Sandy Patty... to listen to Via Dolorosa, you know, it's that time of year. On the Via Dolorosa.
But, okay, so The Passion, if you didn't get to experience it, they took...
And it is an experience.
It is an experience. They took contemporary music, pop music.
Contemporary, in parentheses.
Yes.
Because it's not...
And, because some of it, you know, it's from this decade.
Some of it?
Some of it.
I think.
Maybe. Anyway, so it's songs that you should know, maybe, possibly, and they reform them to kind of tell the story of, you know, the resurrection,
last moments of Jesus. Yes.
And they, Trisha Underwood, or
Trisha Yearwood.
Let's not
speak ill of Trisha Yearwood, okay? You know.
No, I love her.
Right, like making that, you know, those country girls, they like
she
to render.
She sang. Too.
Except the one song she's supposed to have just gone all out ratchet with did not.
Ooh.
For You Never Walk Alone.
Okay.
And she did. And I'm like, God, that's the song you're supposed to do this
with. And I saw the one performance that I did see completely through was Chris Daughtry, who was Judas.
I enjoy angsty Judas.
Yeah. He was, I mean...
Wake me up inside.
Save me. Oh, I love that song.
I do,
too.
It's
one of my favorite songs.
And here's the thing. Okay, because I also love Jesus Christ Superstar. It's mm-hmm. one of my favorite things. Just it's not one of my favorite musicals. It is my favorite musicals. And, yeah, I mean, I would have been okay with just that or a live version of Jesus Christ Superstar. But
I think the most boring part of it for me was Tyler Perry. Honestly, it's like I don't need you,
or whoever was the lady on the street. She was annoying as fuck.
Yeah,
people, they're carrying the lit up cross.
Oh, yeah, the reporter, the Fox News reporter that was, like, asking me. Like, she's a journalist. Ish. But she's asking these questions that are just no journalist would ask.
Because
it's a, you know.
It's already been set up.
Right. It was just supposed to be, you know, supposed to have that look. Seal, but it was very cringeworthy.
Seal singing, "We Don't Need Another Hero."
Oh, I didn't miss that. I'm going to have to go back and watch that.
Yolanda Adams singing "When Love Takes Over."
Oh, yes. No. Okay, I think there are even some gems that I didn't discover.
It is everything because it is contemporary Christian, and it's kind of hard not to.
We might watch that at our heathen brunch tomorrow.
It's hard not to enjoy it if you're not from New York. I don't think y'all understand how fabulous all of that was.
to watch it, I really wish, like, because they had a lot of scenes that they obviously either filmed previously or were done on a soundstage prior, and I wish more of it had been actually live. But I think it was the way that they put together.
Or it was that Hunger Games set.
Yeah. Like, it was live. It just didn't feel like it.
I just need Cedar Flickerman to come out there.
Mm-hmm.
And now Jesus is about to get crucified.
Ooh, see. But it was, it was so bad. It was like, okay. And good.
Passing for white Latin Jesus. white saviors. And Mark Freeman kept saying, white saviors matter.
He looks so, like,
And bless your heart, you know, if you are a white Latino, you know, that is your struggle. I don't know it. However.
Now, was Prince Royce playing Jesus or was he playing somebody else?
Was he playing Jesus? I think he was playing Jesus.
He might have been playing Jesus.
Yeah.
I do love me some Prince Royce.
He sang. They all sang. I will give them that.
Mm-hmm.
There was not a bad note. Beside the people in the choir, some of them were a little faulty.
But no, Prince Royce is a major star, and he's very well known in New York. He's a Dominican singer, very, very popular. He's
better than that Romeo Santos, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no.
That bitch singing that bitch voice. Mm-mm. Yeah, I said it. He has a bitch voice. Ooh.
Well, on that note, we want to give you a little bit of this interview with Jose Roldan Jr. He is performing. Tonight is his last night performing his one-man show, Father Forgive Me For I Have Sinned, talking about his experiences growing up in the South Bronx, coming to terms with sexuality and family and all those things. So here's that interview. You're listening to Queer State of Mind. Jose, thanks so much for joining us on Queer State of Mind.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's awesome.
So, first of all, let's get a little bit to know about you, who you are. I know you're an actor. You've written and produced this show. Tell us a little bit about who you are, Jose.
Well, I'm originally from New York City, the South Bronx, and I am an actor. I started out acting at a very early age, I want to say back in elementary school. And I actually remember my first audition, which is crazy. I soon went on to Lehman College to study acting, and I did that for a little while, and eventually found myself in Los Angeles, which is where I really started taking acting seriously and auditioning and learning the craft of acting and the business of acting, and eventually came back to New York to pursue and work on my one-man show.
Awesome. And that show is going on right now. Tonight's the last performance in this round. Tell us about Father, Forgive Me For I Have Sinned. It's kind of it invokes a lot with the title, with the religion, and this is Easter weekend. So tell us a little bit about this show, kind of how did you come to write it? Where does the inspiration come from?
Well, what's so interesting about the show is that it definitely was all in serendipity at the end of the day. I was graduating from my undergrad with a BA in theater and sociology, and I had already walked down the aisle. And I received a letter from the audit department, I want to say about maybe 2 to 3 weeks after commencement, stating that I did not complete my degree, believe it or not. Can you understand how horrified I was to receive that letter?
Right.
Apparently, there was one elective that I did not take, which I found it to be extremely ridiculous because I was a transfer student in New England College, and I transferred about 28 elective credits that they could not use for anything else. So, I mean, I graduated, but I think you need 120 to graduate. I walked down the aisle with like 165 credits. It was the most ridiculous thing in the world. So I couldn't understand why they wanted me to come back. But anyway, I did it. I went back and I decided to take a course that was entitled Solo Performance Workshop. And I had no idea what this class would entail. I thought it was some sort of comedy class. And I was so afraid because even though I love to make people laugh, I definitely don't consider myself like a comedian. You know what I mean? That's a different world altogether from what I do. But what was awesome about it is that the class was about writing a solo show and writing a piece about your life. And at that present time, I was going through so much with a recent divorce and dealing with a lot of insecurities within myself. So I just started to write from that place. And by the end of the course, I had a 45-minute piece that I was required to do as my final assignment. And actually, that was the birth of the show. And from then, the show's pretty much had a life on its own. So it's pretty awesome to look back and think about where it's come from.
That's interesting to think that it came from kind of an assignment and it's developed now to this show. What are some of the themes that you see when you look at the show? What are some of those things that people might resonate with when they come to watch?
What's awesome about the show is that, of course, it deals heavily with, you know, a lesbian gay theme. As far as this young man who grew up in the South Bronx to Latino parents, learning to accept himself and finally realizing that he's gay and it's okay to be gay. But throughout the course of the entire show, you start to realize that there's other issues that arise as well. And self-esteem is a huge one. Acceptance. Relationships with parents, you know what I mean? And dealing with having to talk to your parents about issues that are just very, very touchy and stuff that we see as children growing up, but we're not allowed to talk about it because, you know, I mean, my family, they were the type of family that would tell you, you know, you're too young to have this discussion, you know, mind your business, but yet it's in my face and I have all these questions and I can't really talk to them about what I'm seeing at the end of the day. So all those issues come up. And the greatest thing for me in the world was one day I performed the show. We had debuted off Broadway here in New York. And there was this woman who came up to me from the middle of the country somewhere. She nowhere near the New York City, the South Bronx. And you would have never thought that she would be able to relate to anything to my show. And she came up to me with tears in her eyes. And she said to me, she said, you know, Jose, I'm not gay. I'm not lesbian. But thank you so much for telling the story because I can completely relate to your father and I can completely relate to how your father treated you throughout your childhood. It doesn't matter where people come from. It doesn't matter whether you're gay or lesbian. Like, the story resonates across the board. And it reminds us that we are all the same. And just because we come from different places, it doesn't mean that we can't relate to one another when it comes to certain issues, when it comes to acceptance or anything like that. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, you really hit on the head kind of as one of those things that we focus on a lot on this show, which is the intersectional identity, being a person of color and coming to terms with your sexuality or your gender identity. Tell me, how was it for you to kind of put that struggle into this work? What did it do for you? Did it give you any type of you know, therapy or help, you know, to kind of put this into a creative work, these feelings that you dealt with growing up?
No, absolutely. I mean, the writing process alone was cathartic for me, and it allowed me to kind of work through certain issues that I was going through at the time. As I mentioned, when I wrote the piece, I was coming out of a divorce, and I was married to a woman. And the reason I was married to a woman was because I believed that in order for me to be right before God, I had to marry a woman in order to be completely delivered from my sexual sin, so to speak. You know what I mean? So I realized much later on that was definitely something that was not right, and it wasn't something that I needed to do in order for God to love me or for God to accept me. And it wasn't until I started writing the piece that I realized that I am, you know, wonderfully and beautifully made, and it doesn't matter what I am, that God still loves me regardless. And that was just some of the things that I was going through as I was writing this piece, which is why I guess the title kind of leads people to believe that there's some sort of religious aspect to it. I mean, there is, believe it or not, there are some pieces that I have written in regards to my faith and in Christianity, because I've gone through, you know, this whole feeling of not wanting to continue in faith, because I thought that at the end of the day, you know, God doesn't love me, so why should I even bother? But unfortunately, because of the nature of the piece and because the time constraints that we have in particular venues, we're not allowed to kind of go over a certain mark. So we've kind of left some of those pieces out, but we're looking for, I guess, a permanent home one day so we could put on a full 90-minute show where all those aspects would actually be included. But writing it was definitely therapeutic, and even performing it to this day, I've done it hundreds of times by now, and every time I get up there, it's a brand new experience and brand new discoveries of how I feel and what I'm feeling and what people are getting out of the community.
You were just listening to an interview with Jose Roldan Jr. He's starring in his own one-man show up in Lower Upper East Side called Father Forgive Me For I Have Sinned at the New Eureka Poets Cafe. You're going to hear more from that interview after the break. But I think it was really interesting, you know, talking about, I always like talking to people about their creative processes and how, you know, things in their lives affect them. And, you know, a lot of people in our community, a lot of queer people of color don't necessarily, you know, I was lucky to come out very early,
right,
you know, in high school or before high school. Like I was gay long ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, some people, you know, go through that process of discovery and it takes a long time and they may, you know, try to live the life.
It's not just that. It's self-acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of that discovery, for better or worse, I talked about this last week, like, oh, you have sex with a guy, you mm-hmm. know. You're gay, but it's that whole process of self-discovery.
Right.
If you accept yourself first, half that shit gets alleviated.
Mm-hmm. Well, and absolutely. And I think he hit on that yeah. where he was saying that it was, you know, he had to understand and care and deal with himself and
right.
be, you know, comfortable with who he was. And he wasn't. So he was trying to live that life, you know,
right.
and get married and do all those things that people
yeah.
tell you have to do. And, you know, you realize that that's not what you want. You know, you realize
right.
that's not what you're after. As you get more comfortable with who you are.
It's like, what's that quote from Sister Act 2? Oh, from the book, from
mm-hmm.
Letters to a Young Poet.
Mm-hmm.
When you wake up at night, and the first day, that's the first thing you think about is what you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
When you wake up in the morning and think about sucking dick, that's the thing you should be doing.
You should be. You should be. Do not deny yourself the dick.
Or whatever other orifice you like.
Whatever orifice you like, you know, love yourself.
Or parts.
And
whatever people parts you like.
And
not a Jeffrey Dahmer kind of way.
No, you know, everybody likes their own thing and everybody likes
yeah.
their parts. And, you know, whether it's the vajayjay or the dick
the
or whatever.
Or the light or the dark meat.
Or whatever,
the wing.
The thigh or the breast, whatever you like. Just be comfortable in what you
in
like.
What you like, yes.
You know. I guess that could go up to a certain point, but we're not going to go there. We're not going
right.
to go there. After the break, we're going to listen to more of that interview with Jose Roldan Jr. about his show. And we're also going to talk a little bit about, what are we going to talk about after the break? We're going to talk about something else.
Do you want to talk about Georgia and North Carolina?
Oh, yes.
What's
these daggone
the
laws, the South. I don't know what's happening. They didn't lost their mind, but we're going to talk about that after the break. You're listening to Queer State of Mind on Radio Free Brooklyn.
I believed all of your dreams are duration. You took my heart, all my keys, and my patience. You took my heart, I must leave a decoration. You mistaken my love, I brought for you for foundation. All that I wanted from you was to give me something that I never had, something that you never seen, something that you never been. Mm-hmm. But why you gotta act like nothing's wrong? Just get ready for work, 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 work. You send me out. Me up there, why, 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 why? You see me doing my da-da-da-da-da.
from my turn.
Yeah, okay. You need to get done at work. Come over. We just need to slow the motion. Don't get out of the way to no one. Long distance, I need you. When I see potential, I just gotta see it through. If you had a twin, I would still choose you. I don't wanna rush into it if it's too soon. But I know you need to get done if you come over. Sorry if I'm way less friendly. I got niggas tryna end me off. Yeah. I spilled all my emotions tonight, I'm sorry. Rolling. How many more shots until you're rolling? We just need a face to face. You could pick the time and the place. You'll spend some time away. Now you need to forward and give me all the work.
It's send me out there, work. You see me do my da-da-da-da-da. So me better, when you walk out, la-la-la-la-la. When the cat from my da-da-da-da-da.
Myself up, turn the world on its head. Don't forget what my mama said. People talking since the beginning of time. Unless they paying your bills, pay them bitches no mind.
And if I fly or if I fall, at least I can say I gave it all. And if I fly or if I fall, I'm on my way.
To that wall. See that wall.
Welcome back to Queer yes. State of Mind. Yes, on a Radio Free Brooklyn, Sissy and That Walk, that's RuPaul. We're going to get back into our interview with Jose Roldan Jr. in just a moment. I just love that song, too. Obviously, I love all the songs we put on here because I pick the music.
Right.
It's my show.
You pick the music.
But, right, if I put on a song, I do hate listening to some songs. Occasionally, I will put a song in and I'll be like, I can't stand that motherfucking song. But the kids like it, so I put it on there.
Fuck the kids.
Right.
And some of y'all do. So
yes. All right. Well, coming up, we have the second part of our interview with Jose Roldan Jr. He's performing tonight at the New Yorican Poets Cafe at 7 p.m. up on 3rd. You should check it out. Tickets are still available. I don't know, girl. 3rd is something.
And the only thing I feel though, I should know this.
Yeah. And I know. I really should know where the New Yorican Poets Cafe is.
Because like, you've heard about it.
Because I've heard about it and I've seen it. I know many people have had events there.
Yeah.
I know it's up there somewhere. So we find out where that is while we listen to this interview.
Join me and Ori tonight.
Yes. Yes, we're going to hang out there. We're going to kiki out at the Post Club. So come check it out. Here's the rest of that interview. You're listening to Queer State of Mind.
Okay, awesome. And, you know, since it is Easter weekend, I'm kind of curious, and since you've talked about this negotiation of faith and coming to terms with how you feel about God and Christianity, where do you sit now? You know, where do you sit now as a queer person of color who's come to terms, you know, with your sexuality? Do you feel that you've come to terms with your place in faith as well?
I do. I definitely do. I don't see God as this judge that we perceive him to be, with a book in his hand ready to kind of, you know, throw it at me for whatever reason. It's more a sense of pretty much of what I was saying earlier, as far that we're all human. We all have similar things that we go through. And at the end of the day, like, I don't see God in the manner in which we're taught to see him. You know what I mean? I know he loves me. I know he loves me regardless of whatever it is that I'm trying to accomplish in life. It's a complete different turnaround. Like, before, it was more so coming from anger, coming from a place of not feeling accepted. And I think that kind of came from what I was getting from everyone else and my, you know, in my environment. Like, I was bullied as a kid. So immediately, and bullied because I was gay, rather. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, that's the whole concept of the story. When you watch the story, you see that throughout the piece, this kid is going through something. And these people can see that he's different. People can see that he's not like everybody else. You know, he's a little soft-spoken. He doesn't like to play sports. He'd rather, you know, study. And again, I don't want to even say that all gay guys are like that, because we all know that there are gay men and women out there that, you know, stand outside of stereotypical gay image. But at the end of the day, that wasn't my story. And I had to combat these stereotypes very early. And it kind of created this environment for me where I started to feel that I wasn't accepted from anybody, from my family, my friends, from God. It didn't matter who. And writing this piece helped me realize that I'm not any different from anyone else. And when it comes to my faith again, no one else really matters but me and God. You know what I mean? Like, no one else really matters at the end of the day. And, you know, it's like many have said before me, you know, God is my judge. And regardless of what anyone thinks, my walk and my life will take me to where I need to be. You know what I'm saying? So. And I don't like to sound super religious, because I'm not. I'm not that guy. I'm not the guy to kind of, like, you know, take faith and throw it down. I mean, I rarely go to church, to be quite honest with you. But I just know that before, I would beat myself up because of that, because I didn't go to church, or because I didn't, you know, read as often as anyone else would read the Bible. You know what I mean? Now it's different. It's just like, you know what? I don't need to stress those things the way I used to anymore. I'm not going to beat myself up for something that I'm not. I hope that makes sense.
No, that absolutely makes sense. And I think that speaks to where a lot of us are, you know, kind of navigating. I want to touch on you talking about growing up in the South Bronx, because obviously that's a major part of this work. And, you know, people that may not be from New York, or maybe see New York as one part of the city, don't really understand the diversity. You know, everybody has this notion that everywhere in New York is so open and diverse, and, like, you can be gay and you can be out everywhere. And definitely the city is much more open than many, but there are still parts of the city that may not be as open as others. And definitely in the past, when, you know, you were growing up, it was hard to be out, to be open about being gay. Can you talk a little bit about that experience, you know, growing up and being gay in a place like South Bronx, where, you know, masculinity is probably one of the most important traits for men?
No, absolutely. I mean, now it's a completely different story. I mean, there's
So bro now.
Yeah. I mean, everybody wants to be gay now, right? It's like the cool thing to be gay now.
Right.
But it definitely wasn't the case back then. And I mean, I remember being so afraid. And what's funny is that I even when I think about that time, we're talking about like maybe late 80s, early 90s. Oh my God, did I just age myself?
we won't tell nobody except everybody.
when we talk about the late 80s, early 90s, you know, I think about, all of the, you know, the rap culture, the pop culture that was going on back in those days and thinking about, you know, not even knowing who I was, to be quite honest with you. Like, I knew at the end of the day I was attracted to boys, but I wasn't allowed to talk about it. I wasn't allowed to even talk to my parents about it because it was just a negative thing to even think. Like, it wasn't even acceptable. And, of course, I was the only boy, right? So, God forbid I turned out gay. You know what I mean?
Right.
But what I do remember is I do remember seeing other what I call now pioneers within the gay community who were very open about their sexuality and honestly did not care. I mean, they were picked on, they were made fun of just like I was, but they were also very strong men who defended themselves in the streets and they lived in the buildings that I lived in. You know, they lived in the projects, they lived across the street, they interacted with everybody and they were not afraid. But I mean, again, I was so young, I interpreted that as, you know, oh my God, I could never be that person. I could never be as strong as this person. Now I look back at it and I thank God for those individuals because they gave a little bit of hope that it's just like, you know what, no, we are who we are and we shouldn't be afraid of who we are for anything. But it wasn't as easy as it is now. Like, I walk down the streets now because my parents still live in the same neighborhood and I walk down there now and I can see guys holding hands and, you know, wearing the backward fitted caps and playing basketball. And I'm just like, this is a completely different world from when I grew up. But it's also awesome and liberating because it's just like, you know, we've come a long way. So.
Absolutely. No, I think it says a lot that the way that people can express their sexuality doesn't necessarily conflict in the same way that it used to with people, you know, right, expressing their own personal identity. So we could talk forever about all of that, but I want to let people know of how they can come see your last show at the Nuyorican Poets Cafe. What are the details? How can people get tickets? What do they need to do?
Awesome. Well, you can definitely go to the Nuyorican's website. So it's the Nuyorican.com/calendar, and you'll be able to just look at the calendar for tonight at 7 p.m. And the show starts at 7 p.m., but everybody usually shows up late, so we usually hold house at about 7:10 or so. It's the environment of a Nuyorican because a Nuyorican is a very special theater. It's not like a traditional theater. So you walk in, you kind of feel very homey and they have like a full bar there. So you're able to drink while you're watching the show. What better way than to, you know, sit down and enjoy yourself than to have a glass of wine, right?
That's one of those things I hate about Broadway, right? You know, it's all stuffy. It has to start on time. Like, you know, if you late from the train, like you're afraid you're not going to be able to get into your show that you paid like $200 for and then the drinks. So this sounds a little bit chill, a little bit more like, you know, going to kick it at your friend's house and watch a show. I like that.
Exactly. And the show is also very interactive too. So there'll be some surprises if anybody comes out. So it'll be awesome.
Awesome. Well, make sure you check it out. It's tonight at 7 p.m. at the Nuyorican Poets Cafe on 3rd. You're listening to Queer State of Mind. Jose Roldan Jr., thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I look forward to seeing you guys at the show and just working together in the near future. Like, I appreciate what you guys are doing and getting the word out there and just being a positive light for our community because we really need it.
Awesome. We thank you so much. And we'll be right back with more.
I'm sitting pretty impatient, but I know you gotta put in them hours. I'ma make it harder. I'm sending pick up to picture, I'ma get you fired. I know you're always on that night shift, but I can't stand these nights alone.
you gotta put in work, 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 work. You don't gotta go to work, 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 work. Let my body do the work, 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 work. We can work from home. Oh, oh, oh. We can work from home. Oh, oh, oh. Let's put it in a motion. I'ma give you a promotion. I'll make it feel like a vacay. Turn the bed into an ocean. We don't need nobody. I just need your body. Nothing but sheets in between us. Ain't no getting off early. I know you're always on the night shift, but I can't stand these nights alone. And I don't need no explanation, 'cause baby,
let your body do the work, work,
okay.
Work, 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 work.
So I was afraid at first because I was getting my life over here in my seat, you know, doing, you know, the ass shaking and looking.
Right. Yeah, you know, you got the right. Were you sitting in the chair like, am I popping it right?
Yes, I am. So I thought it was that Rihanna girl at first and I got really afraid because, you know, I don't do her.
Well, we had played that earlier in the show. That's probably why we did. We played that earlier up.
Okay, yeah, I missed it.
Yeah, no.
I tuned her out. So, you know, there was the clip about the girl, I mean, about the guy singing in Cincinnati. Yeah.
I don't know.
Got on stage and sang her song better than she does.
Oh, yeah. And then she was just like,
well, here's my deal. I am shocked, okay? Shocked that people would pay cash money, American dollars, you know.
Where is that motherfucking bell?
I understand you're going to pay with Camel Cash or some shit like that.
You can use your Prince.
Right, you know.
Use your Kroger Prince.
Right, your Kroger points. Right, yeah. Your M&S green clams.
Or your Key Food points. Yeah, right. We ain't got Kroger here, but you know.
You're right. You know, anything, your bonus, you know, instead of getting your Christmas ham or Easter ham, you know.
I'm through. I'm so through.
But people pay cash money. I am just puzzled.
Yeah. I like Rihanna. Now, I'm not going to pay no money. I wouldn't even pay to go see.
What are you watching her do?
Like Beyonce's too. I wouldn't pay for that. So.
Like, what are you paying to see? I'm confused.
I don't know.
Like, are you paying to see her perform? I just can't even.
You literally can't even.
I cannot put this in my head. Like, I cannot formulate a thought to understand what you're paying for.
I don't know. I don't know.
Then again, people say the same thing about us. Like, you're paying all this money for a studio, so yeah.
Right, you know, so, yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
People spending money on dumb shit. Yes, I said y'all spend money on dumb shit for seeing her in concert.
Dumb shit. So, it's been an interesting week in politics. Condoms. Oh. She did not just pull... She pulled out a New York City condom right out of her pocket.
You know, I don't know what I'm doing.
Gotta be prepared. No,
I don't know what I'm doing
prepared
after the show.
Right.
It's Brooklyn.
Want to be prepared. Want to be protected. Safe sex is the best sex. Anyway, so... Apparently, speaking of sex, Ted Cruz...
Okay.
I don't want to spend too much time on this, okay. Except to laugh.
This is all the life, because as much as Donald Trump is Donald Trump, but he's been playing a different game this whole fucking time, and people are just now catching up to it.
Mm-hmm.
He is the Jessica Simpson of the...
Right, because like, he's like, oh, y'all gonna underestimate me? But guess what?
I've been playing a different game.
Right.
Like, bitch, I'm not even playing checkers. I'm playing Parcheesi.
Right, and winning.
Backgammon.
And winning.
Yeah. Right, y'all there playing, you know, Tiddlywinks and shit.
Ooh, yes. So, poor Ted Cruz.
So, it's saying that, you know, his wife, Heidi, and, you know, mental illness, especially as us black people, we have to have a whole show on this about black people mental illness. Because, you know, Heidi had that incident back in the day.
Right.
Bless her heart. You know, mental illness is not nothing to laugh at. And then they're saying, oh, well, she's ugly. And next to Melania Trump. Now, to be fair, most people are.
Right. Melania is a model. Yeah, she's gorgeous. She was selected from wherever she came from in Eastern Europe because she was fine.
I mean, and she's smart as hell, too. She's not a dumb bitch.
No, not at all.
You know, it's one thing where it's like when you put her on international stage, like you have with Michelle Obama, to get girls together, like, this is what we produce. Mm-hmm. However, the shade about breaking in the Inquirer that Ted Cruz has been fucking these five women.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the crazy bitch that's from Katrina.
Oh.
From the Donald Trump campaign.
From the Donald Trump campaign.
The one who's like, you know, she's a cult member.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hi.
Mm-hmm.
The dumb bitch. Allegedly, you know who's, it's not Donald Trump that provided them that information.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that they heard this from the Rubio campaign.
Of course it was. No.
I said, yes, bitch!
And it's funny because that just freaking comes right out of Scandal. Like, it's just right. If you watch Scandal this week, like, there's pretty much a storyline that is exactly that.
It's like it's not the Trump campaign. It's not the ones you think it is. No. It's girls who still got a grudge. I appreciate holding a vendetta against a bitch.
If anybody would, like, he just looked mad.
You know, who am I? 24601.
Right. All right, before we go, we want to give a little bit of time. There's some political issues that are happening with some of the laws in North Carolina and Georgia, and kind of give a summary.
Yeah.
There was a law that is being considered in Georgia that could, in what people are saying, it's one of those touted as a religious liberty bill. But
Like Indiana.
But essentially what people are saying is it could prevent or could allow for churches, religious organizations to explicitly ban or prohibit service to LGBT people based on whatever reasons, their religious freedom. And in North Carolina, they just
did it wholesale.
They just passed a bill this past week that basically overturns local ordinances protecting the rights of LGBT people.
These states' rights, kids.
So I'm going to leave you with this note. This presidential election is very important. You know, it's very important that we get out and vote and we select the next leader of our country. But in my opinion, it's what's going on in these states that is most important. So here in New York, we're kind of lucky. But in other parts of the country, their legislators are passing laws that are infringing upon the rights of LGBT people. It's not just about marriage equality anymore. There are people that can't live their full lives because of these laws. So hopefully we're all getting out there to vote if we can. I'm in this weird limbo with moving and everything. So
actually, it might work to your advantage if you can still vote in Ohio.
I opted out of the primary. But for the general election, I think it's really important for us to look at who's running for the local elections, who's running for Congress, the ballot ticket. Yeah.
Down ballot. Make sure you vote.
Because those are the people that are going to be making these laws. Those are the people that are going to be in charge of setting the agendas in these states. And
your state assemblies, that's where you pay attention to. Republicans have done this well.
Absolutely.
They learned their lesson in 2010. That's where they put all the money. It was not in the national elections.
And that's where we need to go. We're going to be kicking up our political coverage coming up in the next week with our new podcast, Queer Minded America, that's going to be launching in April. We're going to have an interview with the Victory Fund to kind of iron out some of these election issues, talk about what some of these races mean, and get some understanding, because I know I cover politics and I'm confused. So we're going to try to figure out some of these and get you some information to help you make informed decisions over the next couple of months as we get ready for the general election. That's about all we have for this edition of Queer State of Mind. Everyone, I'm glad it went so well. We miss you, Sadie. You got to come back. Get on here. But we will be back next week with more Queer State of Mind. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great evening, afternoon, Saturday, brunch time.
Brunch time.
Bye.
Queer State of Mind is produced by the Queer Minded Radio Network, a queer people of color focused radio community. Thank you for listening. Find out more.